Welcome back to Canna Week, brought to you by New Frontier Data, where we deliver the week's top headlines in cannabis and hear experts weigh in on the impacts these stories are having in the industry. I'm your host, Heather Wickline. Today, we have two special guests joining us. First is a visionary thought leader in the tech space with 20 years experience in the world of entrepreneurship from startup to exit, and is very well known for his accomplishments in marketing technology and happens to be our COO at New Frontier Data. Welcome, Gary Allen. And our other guest is founder and chief investment officer of Seymour Asset Management, and you recognize him from Fast Money on CNBC. Please welcome Tim Seymour.
Hey, Heather. Great to be here today.
Thank you so much. You can also see these guys on our Global Cannabis Town Hall that took place on April 2nd. There's a recording available on newfrontierdata.com. All right, well, we have a lot to cover, so let's just dive right in. Tim, since we have you on today, it's only fitting we kick it off with what's going on with Canopy Growth.
Sure.
Yesterday, MarketWatch reported that Canopy Growth is pulling back operations on three continents and charging up to $568 million due to restructuring. Now they're no longer the largest cannabis company by market cap. Do you view this pullback as being unique to the company, or is it indicative of a larger trend in the industry?
Look, I think this is ultimately very good news for an industry that needed cost rationalization and a focus where focus should be. Canopy Growth, who is, at this point is effectively, as far as I'm concerned, being run by Constellation Brands, who's one of the most savvy, sophisticated consumer products companies in the world, is focused on profitability. And I think, you know, putting assets together on a map and hoping it works, which I think is 1.0 cannabis for a lot of people, is something that clearly has proven to be value destructive. And so focusing the production platform, focusing the global scope, going to markets that are actually profitable now, going to where you can execute and leverage the business and do it profitably is good news for the sector. And I'm not surprised that David Klein at Canopy Growth, who is a veteran from Constellation Brands, is doing this.
Hey Tim, does it also mean that we're starting to see kind of a more mature executive team running these companies? But there, it seems like Canopy is now focused on the investors and the key investor, not just being the largest company in the world. And I think that has to be better for the entire market. Would you agree?
Well, yeah. I mean, like, I'm not sure how we're measuring the largest company in the world. In terms of market cap, they're still the largest. And they have the most balance sheet to put to work in the sector at a time when a dollar spent in April of 2020 is a lot more advantageous than one spent a year ago. Right. The C-suite, 2.0 C-suite in cannabis is something that we've been seeing across the last 9 months. And so I think what's happened at Canopy Growth, first of all, their largest shareholder is, again, Constellation Brands. So to be clear, Constellation Brands is definitely a focus for management and ultimately portfolio investors, for sure, who I think understand that balance sheet rationalization, optimization, efficiency. Like, they March 3rd, 4th, they cut 3 million square feet of capacity in Canada. And that was something that appeared a little shocking. But last time I checked, when you look at the supply demand factors and when you look at funded capacity in Canada, which absurdly was how the industry valued itself in the early days and actually where companies were given, they were actually endorsed, where these were drivers for your valuation if you had massive funded capacity, when in fact obviously that's largely been CapEx that has been wasted.
Gotcha.
Got it. Gary, any thoughts from you?
Listen, I obviously, you know, Tim is the expert in this particular area. I think from the inside the industry and as an executive in the industry looking outward at companies like Canopy, the idea of focusing on the shareholder, understanding how the business gets efficient, providing profitability and providing a way forward and a path forward, even if it means early term constriction of the size of the company itself, all has to be beneficial. And it's got to be a good sign that we're going to run this industry much more efficient. We're going to run it on real numbers and we're going to run it as adults. And so I think it's as Tim said, I would agree that it's good news for the industry.
Well, that is great. Well, moving on, you know, what's happening with Aphria, you know, this pandemic is creating economic uncertainty. And even for businesses like Aphria, who despite seeing a 65% increase in sales this past quarter, had to rescind their guidance for the year due to market uncertainty. Now, Tim, how do you make sense of this dynamic? And should investors be positioning themselves? How should they be positioning themselves under these circumstances?
I think we're seeing companies around the world in other industries how they're pulling guidance. So, you know, I'm not shocked or surprised to see that. And in fact, we're going to look at companies today. We're in the middle of earnings season around the world in the United States for sure. That's no different than what we got out of some of the biggest companies in the world over the last 24 hours. That doesn't alarm me in any way. I don't think this is a case of a lack of transparency. I think in the case of Aphria, there's a lot of moving pieces here. In fact, I think it's been, you know, a lot of the Canadian LPs have been painted with a bit of a mixed brush over the last 3 years. They were big winners in the early days of the ability to get capital put to work out of Canada, capital markets really being funneled and fueled from Canada into the U.S., from the U.S. up to Canada, back down, Aphria, Canopy Growth, Aurora, Tilray, Kronos, you know, these companies all with big U.S. listings allowed them to be, you know, large players, easy targets because the valuations made no sense. And some of them also really poor capital allocation, and in some other cases, some not great governance. I mean, let's not forget that Aphria was embroiled in some significant, call it short interest hedge fund exposure. There was a couple reports out talking about insider transactions with some Latin American assets, really calling to bear both third-party transactions, insider transactions. What are the assets worth? Who's buying from who? This is critical stuff for investors, capital structure for these companies. And as investors out there, especially are investing in the public markets, the good news is there actually is a fair amount of information in terms of filings with the SEC that investors can look at and understand capital structure, insiders, lockups, and where transactions have taken place. So, you know, to me, I don't hear this news and get concerned. I hear this news and hear an industry that's growing up. I don't want to say it's a one-sided, hey, everything's great. I think investors want more transparency. They want more accountability. But I think this is in an operating environment that has never been seen before. And I would repeat that the biggest companies in the world are pulling guidance.
Yeah, Tim, completely agree. And I also think, you know, with the last article we just talked about with Canopy, this is another show of maturity, right?
Yeah.
It's an unfortunate reality in any business. Sometimes you have to restate your numbers, either up or down. And the best way to do that is through transparency immediately, as soon as you can. And I think it shows, again, that the cannabis market is being run by adults. Right? 2 years ago, we would have held on to numbers, you know, with a death's grip. And now, you know, having to take that mature step of telling the street, listen, we're uncertain of what's going to happen. Here's what happened. They had a great quarter. And now they're uncertain what's going to happen in the future. And they need to let their stockholders know it. I think it's really sharp.
And I would add to that, Gary, and again, back to Canopy or Aphria, but you know, one of the announcements that Canopy made was just talking a little bit about their hemp production in this asset they bought in New York, which when the time came, it was very big news. It probably added $1 billion to the market cap of the company just to announce that they'd made it. You know, they were in New York and they were growing their U.S. footprint. And you know, I'm not sure that was even the company's fault. And Bruce Linton was at the helm at the time. But what looks like in hindsight, like, wow, what was going on there? Was there deception? No. I mean, the market wanted to believe post-Farm Bill that this was the U.S. was wide open even for the Canadian players. I mean, I actually look at what Canopy is doing now. They made an $80 million investment in TerrAscend, which is a North American operator, about 3 weeks ago, a month ago. It was actually a follow-on after an investment early in TerrAscend's life that shows a commitment to growing with operators and players that they can actually strategically build out presence in the U.S. I think that was great news for both companies. So, and in Aphria's case, Again, they went through a painful time. They made a CEO change. Irwin Simon is running Aphria at this point. This is a veteran CEO from the consumer product space. I mean, at Hain Celestial, he built a company into a massive player in the organic foods space. So having savvy senior corporate executives at the helm, holding them accountable, which they will be held accountable, is what this industry needs.
Awesome. Thank you so much for that. Gary, I know you had a couple of questions for Tim to kind of take it back to the Global Cannabis Town Hall. So I will kick it over to you.
Sure, absolutely. Thank you so much, Heather. Yeah. So Tim, you know, all of this conversation, 2 weeks ago, you participated in our Global Town Hall that New Frontier Data hosted. We took a survey of the attendees of that town hall, and as you would expect, a lot of them were investors. Of the investors that that responded, 80% said that they were going to keep their investments this year either at the same level or grow them for 2020. You know, are these two articles that we're talking about, do they prove or disprove kind of that data that we pulled out of that survey?
This sounds to me so. Aphria, Canopy, these are two companies that a lot of folks have investments in that if I looked at them today, I'd say these are better investments and allocations in 2020 than they were in 2018. Easy to say in terms of there's been massive capital destruction. I'll let you all kind of do your mark to markets and where, you know, where your average cost might have been if you owned them from back then. But the fact that investors are looking at the industry now and having a more excited outlook in terms of a dollar of allocation now going forward is makes sense to me on many levels. One, we spent a lot of time talking about the waste, the misallocation of capital, the balance sheet rationalization that exists, I think, in the industry now, not only because that's ultimately the growth of any new industry, but it's been necessary. There's no capital coming into the industry, at least with an open spigot in the way it might have appeared. And I'm not even sure it ever really was wide open. So capital has been squeezed. Companies need to allocate better. They are. For investors, that's very important. If you're allocating capital now and you're one of these companies, or you're a private company and you're actually looking at maybe taking market share and being opportunistic, you have a balance sheet that will get you through a difficult period. You are profitable. This is a great environment to be actually opportunistic and looking at places where you can be a market share taker. Remember, all the reasons why we were very excited about investing in this sector as a investor class 3 or 4 years ago. I think, you know, outside of federal U.S. expectations on descheduling and legalization, which were probably very unrealistic, I'd actually argue that we're ahead of where people could have expected we were. And that includes not only in terms of the states and the legalization process, and at least recognition even within Washington that, you know, states' rights, et cetera, go back to the Cole memo. Let's leave the states alone. Let's let the states decide their future on this. Let's let them regulate it. And the fact that the public perception and then the political kind of positioning on this is that this is an absolutely popular partisan issue on both sides of the aisle. The states that are rolling into both new programs for medical, which didn't appear any time imminent, and then also the evolution of the adult markets in places, especially in the Northeast, where I do think this Northeastern block between New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, is something that continues to evolve and will be a very important kind of East Coast swing. So I could get lost on this for a while. I think if you look at the sales numbers year over year, we've seen actually a slight downtick in Nevada, slight downtick in Colorado, but overall, consumption trends and recognition of cannabis as truly eventually a very mature CPG, consumer packaged goods story that sets up alongside of other very sophisticated consumer stories is where we are, is where we've come from. And obviously, COVID-19 and the classification of cannabis as essential within 18 months of it being illegal is extraordinary. Let's not get too excited about that. And there's been a lot of recognition of that. I would simply say that is important.
Yeah, I think the COVID-19 I think the one thing it absolutely does is make uncertain kind of the confidence that everybody had that over this year or next year, there would be that critical mass or that tipping point for the legalization. What question I have for you about the Global Town Hall, as one of our moderators, as well as the panelists about the meeting, you know, what do you think, if you could give us one or two sentences of what you think people should take away from this type of communication on this scale for a growing market? What is the one thing that came out of that for you that you thought the audience should know?
Well, what we've all seen in the work from home environment of virtual this and that is that communication has actually improved in some way when you know, seemingly it was going to get more difficult. So the town hall forum, the fact that it was global, the fact that this industry is largely a global industry that is unfolding at a rapid pace in different regions, getting industry leaders, that was very important. Getting real-time data, getting some real insight from operators, what were the biggest challenges to their businesses, what are the biggest challenges now, the pivots that have gone on from management teams to be able to either react from an operations perspective, react from a, you know, therefore, logistics, ERP, distribution, where they've actually been able to be, call it opportunistic and take advantage of that. I think the town hall gave you a sense of listening to operators, you know, industry leaders, folks who actually are approaching this also from accounting, legal, regulatory, and understanding their perception of you know, this new state of order. Obviously, the whole dynamic with companies, how they're operating as social citizens, which players within the industry have been more, I think, sensitive to the dynamics out there with their employees, with their customers, and then operating within that framework. That's what the town hall was. And it was pretty amazing to see leaders come together from around the world.
Yeah, and again, thank you for your participation in that. I want to switch for the last question I have for you. I want to switch gears, take your public hat off for a second. You have been a thought leader and an investor in this industry for a number of years now. For the private companies out there, right? I have been talking about and trying to communicate to our team and our investors that now is the time for the investors to roll up their sleeves, dig in, and prepare their companies, help their companies prepare for what we're coming through, you know, how we get through this.
Yep.
As an investor and a thought leader in the industry, talk to me a little bit, or talk to our audience a little bit about, you know, what you're going to do with your companies, or what are you going to, you know, how are you going to help as an investor your companies grow and stabilize?
Right. So you know, on the private company side, I work with JW Asset Management. We've got a hedge fund that's investing in essentially, you know, private and public, but mostly private investments in the industry. And what we're seeing and talking to our companies every day is that, first of all, it's always interesting to see two portfolio companies that are actually having an impact on each other, whether it is a SaaS or a software player or someone that's involved in accounting and industry and something that might be seen as lateral, actually going to play a major role in a vertically integrated player who suddenly is maybe switching to delivery services because obviously the retail form has changed. I think the most important things that have happened here are companies have obviously had to look also at this rationalization of their balance sheet, of their business model, and ultimately focus on where they can you know, kind of go through this difficult period. First of all, not being priced for that growth round of capital right now, but being, you know, going back to existing investors and seeing where they actually can get support for investors. It's been a really important moment to be able to, frankly, extract better terms. That's not necessarily a bad thing. There's always a supply and a demand in the capital market side, but in many cases, securing some liquidation preferences in some of these private investments that are going on right now is critical. That's, you know, we're in a position to actually ask, you want support now, we can actually do that, but we can also be in a position where you really have to be able to legally protect the investor here.
Yeah, and so would you say to the CEO or the executive team out there raising money, be prepared, you know, to get squeezed, be prepared to have a little bit more reality in your valuation, but that's not necessarily a bad thing, right? Making it through it is what's important in ensuring that you come out the other side better.
There's look, if you're an entrepreneur, you believe in your business, you're single-handedly focused on your business. And on some level, you don't always have a completely objective view of the world you're living in. And the reality is that CEOs need to think about the next 3 to 6 months. And in many cases, it is survival. In many cases also, you have to understand that there are both investors in the, call it the institutional fund community, that would be hedge funds, that would be private equity, but also very sophisticated family office and high net worth investors that also can play a role in a strategic complementary role. They would be seen as investors, but in many cases, you're actually getting an investor that can help you on some other part of your business, especially as it might relate to distribution and getting to the end customer. One place that I've seen examples of this, beaten up part of the industry possibly right now than the whole CBD space. In the CBD space, where I think a lot of the bigger players, there's some known examples of a couple that are actually going through bankruptcy, that are going through either restructuring, reorg. Understanding that there may be actually investors out there, especially in the private equity world, that are experts in the branding channel and experts in taking something to the next level in terms of the distribution channels that are really the brand makers. Right. So I think CEOs have to understand that it's not just about giving up some piece of some additional equity and some dilution on a valuation they thought was the right one yesterday, but possibly bringing in folks that truly are going to be partners with their companies going forward.
Yeah, I think that's really smart. Thanks so much again, Tim, for being with us today. Heather,
great to be part of it.
I'm going to pass it back to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Tim and Gary. And if you missed the Global Cannabis Town Hall, you can check out a recording on our website, newfrontierdata.com. Thank you for joining us at Canna Week, and be sure to subscribe and like the podcast. And all the stories that we covered today are part of New Frontier Data's Cannabis Insights Daily, and you can subscribe on our website. So thank you so much. I'm your host, Heather Wickline. Everyone stay healthy, stay safe, stay home, and we'll see you next time. New Frontier Data provides this podcast for entertainment purposes only. Nothing stated in this podcast should be taken as legal or financial advice. Reference to any specific product or entity does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by the company. The views expressed by guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. Views and opinions expressed by New Frontier Data employees are those of the employees and do not necessarily reflect the view of the company or any of its officials. If you have any questions about this disclaimer, please contact our legal department.